Okay, I'd like to call to order today's meeting of the Board of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority, and we call the roll here.
Governor Pat Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf, Director Bates.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Dotson.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney. Director Weissman.
Here.
Chair, we have a call.
Very good. I apologize for starting a bit late. We had to achieve the quorum before we start. Well, now we're in that position. We have some board members not here today, the most obvious of which is Chairwoman Wolf, and I'll be trying to fill her shoes today. I think my mission will be to further foster greater appreciation for how well-run meetings are when she's here. So I have no doubt I'll achieve that. So we always allow time for public comment at the outset of our meetings, and I don't think we had anyone signed up, but I would call now if there's anyone interested in addressing the board. Please identify yourself, and we'll give you some time. Okay, if not, then we have a busy agenda today, and we're probably going to, because of our marginal quorum and the fact that some people may have to leave before we're done, it's likely that we will move into items from the various areas of procurement, engineering, and others where a recusal was requested, and deal with those well, because those obviously would be could be short if necessary votes if we don't. So just to alert you to that fact. So first of all, we have approval of minutes of the board meeting and executive session held on October 24th, 2013 and November 21st, 2013 respectively. Do I have a motion to
approve? Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any requests for changes or alterations to the minutes? If not, then all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. The minutes are accepted. Committee reports. Strategic Planning Committee did meet just last week. However, I think for the sake of time today, with our long agenda, that we will save that for our next meeting, and then give Director Gonzalez his opportunity to either report today or at the next meeting in terms of the audit committee.
At this time, I'd like to report at the next meeting next month if possible. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Next item then is our 2014 board and committee schedule. And I know this was sent out ahead of time. I think you have a hard copy in front of you as well. Have you had a chance to peruse that? And does anyone have any questions or concerns about that schedule? If not, then I would entertain a motion to approve the meeting schedule for 2014.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries in the 2014 board and committee schedule is adopted. At this point,
good morning, directors. I am Christie's voice for the the first item from the executive director is the approval of the 2014 tollway holiday schedule. The holiday schedule is consistent with it, what has been done in the past, which is also consistent with the state providing for 13 holidays throughout the year. Of that, we will need a motion for approval.
Motion approved.
Second. Okay, motion by Director Banks, seconded by Director Dotson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the 2014 tollway holiday schedule is hereby adopted. And do we have other items? Okay, I think for the sake of accomplishing our mission of getting a vote on the various items where recusals are involved, that we'll move to that at this time if it's okay with the board. Okay. First of all, we have one item under the finance section, and that is number two on the agenda under finance. And we ask if staff wants to give us any summary or description of that before we consider that.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Director. Chair. Item two under finance is renewal of a contract with RSUI Indemnity Company and Chubb Insurance Company through broker Mesro Insurance Services to provide a property insurance program with a combined annual premium of $775,636. This is a renewal. It's a renewal pursuant to an RFP that was issued in 2011. The Mesro brought the program to us, the same carriers. They were awarded the program at that time. The blanket insurance program, which is the RSUI program, provides coverage for current replacement costs for bridges, buildings, and facilities of the tollway, subject to a self-insured retention of $1 million. The policy does not include assets that are valued less than that, less than the retention or deductible. And it doesn't insure the roadway. It does cover bridges, like I said, and structures, and it doesn't cover loss of revenue. The premium for the blanket insurance program is the same rate per dollar of insured value, but because insured value has increased, it does reflect an increase in the total insured value of the structures and facilities as we go through the Move Illinois program and rebuild. Obviously, AECOM, which does the estimate for the value of those assets, has increased the value. Chubb Insurance Company will provide the coverage for the central administration facility, as well as the new equipment at the new call center. The premium for the central administration facility and the equipment at the new call center is totally $62,700. Again, that reflects a slight increase from about $56,000, but that reflects new coverage on the call center, and it also does include a modest, I think it's about a 4% increase in the premium rate on the central administration facility and equipment, reflective of the market for that area. So with that, finance would entertain questions.
Question, AECOM, they did the annual audit. They do the annual audit of the bridges and structures.
AECOM does.
What's the total value? Is that, I think you mentioned what's that, about $4 billion?
The total insured value is $4,451,400,000 under this blanket insurance policy.
How much of that total? Sure. How much did that total replacement value increase from the year before?
It increased from $4,300,274,000, so about $150 million.
Okay.
Increase in insured value.
And the premium increase by what dollar amount?
The premium on the blanket insurance policy, the premium rate, stayed the same.
It stayed the same, but the value went up. The coverage will not cover that.
Okay.
The other question I have for is for the CA Central Administration Office, is there a coverage for rental of additional space if we have or moving?
Yes,
if there's an issue.
If we are required to relocate,
is it covered?
Relocation.
Okay.
If we were, no.
It does not cover that?
It is property insurance on the place itself. So if there was a loss to a quarter of this building, it would pay for the replacement of the building, but it would not pay for. There's certain extra expenses, but it's not totally covered for moving someplace and that type of thing. As you would your homeowners, where you have.
So we have other. So the other coverages we have would cover that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion on this item? If not, I would seek a motion in a second.
Motion.
We have a motion in a second on item number two under finance. All those in favor, please note for the record that Director Reddick has recused himself on this item. Before we take the vote, and at this point, then all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? And the motion carries. Yes, under procurement, I see no recusals. Under engineering, I think we have at least three. Instances, I think, and the first of which is number three, again under the engineering section of the agenda, under finance, or under engineering, I'm sorry. Could we get a description of that item? Is that Mr. Kovacs?
Yes. Good morning, directors. So item three is a construction contract award. It's for reconstruction and widening of Town Hall Road and Pearl Street bridges. These are crossroad bridges that go over the I-90. The western portion of I-90. We received six bids on this particular contract. Laura Construction Company is a low bidder at $5,385,704.74. I will note that Laura won this contract through bid credits because they participate in our earned credit program. So that allowed them to be the low bidder on this contract. And they're also going to commit to meeting our DBE goal on this contract.
Any questions or discussion on the item? If not, please note for the record that Director Sweeney has accused himself on this item, which may not matter a whole lot since he's not here. So,
I just want to get as many of my items through as possible.
we'll take the vote here. All those in favor? We have a motion in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. The item is approved. Next item involves a recusal. This one by Director Darcy is number four under engineering. And could we get a synopsis of that? Mr. Kovacs.
Okay. It's very similar to item three in the scope of work. This is a construction contract award. It's for reconstruction of the Harmony Road and Hennig Road bridges on the Jane Dennett Memorial Tollway. They're crossroad bridges in the western portion of I-90. We have five really good bids on this contract. Herlihy Mid-Continent is the low bidder at $5,405,751.04. I will note, and you can see on the summary agenda, that the DBE goal for this contract was 18%, and they have committed, and we have recognized 16.02%. We are still recommending award, and the reason for this discrepancy between the goal and the commitment is their interpretation of our DBE spec. Our DBE spec specifically states that we don't want the contractors to put their DBE commitments on any items in the contract that are allowance items or supplemental work items, which may not be performed. So what they did was they put the goal all on the core work items, the actual work items to be done, and they are actually achieving the 18.35%. Diversity and legal and engineering are going to work on tightening up this specification so that we can avoid having any misinterpretation of our goal amounts. I will note also, though, that Herlihy did commit to us that if those allowance work items are to be done as part of this contract, that they will honor the overall goal for that work, too. So I feel good about recommending award for this. I will give you a little bit of background on the supplemental items. And this one, typically the supplemental items are nominal items. They're to cover in case, you know, something happens. Our experience tells us that, you know, barricades are going to get knocked down out there and we're going to have to replace them, or barrels are going to get hit and we're going to have to replace them, or there's going to be patching required. Well, these crossroad bridges, they have detours that are going to be in place while we build them. And it's really difficult for the engineers, or at least the engineers felt it was really difficult to figure out exactly how much repair would have to be done on these detour routes. We know we want to do them because we have an obligation to take care of the motoring public, and we're putting them on these, you know, detours. But and we're putting extra traffic on the roads, but we don't know exactly, we can't predict exactly what the amount's going to be. So we did allow ourselves some allowance items to do these repairs in this contract. And, you know, they restricted themselves from adding DB commitment on those items in accordance with our specs, and it theoretically lowered their upfront DB percentage. So it's a long explanation, but at the end of the day, I was happy to hear that they were committing to meet the overall goal if the allowance items actually do have to be done.
Questions or discussion?
It looks like the bids are still pretty competitive. Your engineers' estimates were about $600,000 less than what the low bid was. Were you surprised by that, or was that something you anticipated?
I think that as the program goes on, you're going to see that, because our historical records are getting better and better. We had 24 crossroad bridges that we had to build in the western portion of I-90. We did our first 8 this year, and we have roughly 8 coming with these contracts. So we're getting much better to find quantities and scope and bids, and we're getting much better at predicting, you know, what the actual costs are going to be.
Any other questions? Discussion? If not, we have a motion to approve.
So moved.
A motion to approve. Second.
Second.
Motion to approve and second. Again, on this item, Director Darcy is recusing himself. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? The item is approved. Right. And then moving on to item number 7. We did a under engineering. Mr. Kovacs, you want to give us a description of that item?
So item 7 is a construction contract award. It's for reconstruction of the Devon Avenue Bridge over I-290. It's associated with our Elgin O'Hare Western Access corridor. We received 8 bids on this contract. The Lord Construction is the low bidder at $8,100,949.50, and they have committed to meet our DB goal.
Any questions or discussion on this item? If not, I would seek a motion to approve.
I just had a quick question on the bid. That basically, that the ACP basically allowed them to be a little bitter.
I believe that was the case again on this one.
Yes. Yeah. So. Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Discussion? If not, I would seek a motion to approve.
So
item number 7. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? None. The item is approved. And moving on then to okay. That concludes action on items where users are involved. So now, if we could revert to Executive Director's report. And the designated voice of Christie will pursue
that. Thank you, Director. A second item we wanted to bring to your attention is that we will be likely bringing forward a proposal to consider alternates to some of the committees, given some of the tight schedules that we have and sometimes inability to make quorums at the committee level. We're proposing that an alternate be designated for each one of the committees, and for the FAO committee, up to 2 alternates be designated in the event that the regular committee members cannot attend, and that will allow us to go forward with some of those meetings and those events. So you will likely be seeing that proposal in January. A third item. We are pleased to announce the proposal of a new parental leave policy. that will provide for paid time off for mothers, fathers, and domestic or civil union partners. The new policy will bring the TOLE in line with the best employment practices from the private sector and from other public sector agencies. It will also allow us to attract and retain the most qualified and sought-after workers. And it fosters an environment that makes it easy as possible for TOLE employees to perform well and to do their best work for our agency. Specifically, under the new policy, mothers would receive up to 4 weeks paid leave to recover from non-surgical birth and up to 6 weeks paid leave to recover from cesarean section delivery. Adoptive parents and spouses, as well as civil union or domestic partners, would be eligible to receive up to 4 weeks paid leave for the adoption or birth of a child or children. And TOLE employees will be able to combine sick days and vacation to paid parental leave to take the maximum 12 weeks allowed under FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act. Before this policy, mothers and fathers had a total of 12 weeks of time off eligible, and that total amount will remain the same. For those who did not hear, Christy, it's worth noting that we did not have a parental leave prior to this proposal. Mothers and fathers were actually required to use sick time to cover any sort of leave related to their birth of their children or to have that time unpaid. The new policy applies only to non-union permanent TOLE employees who have completed 1 year of service and worked at least 1,250 hours over the course of the year prior to the leave request. That's consistent with what's under FMLA. And employees who are subject to collective bargaining agreements will continue to be subject to the same terms of their respective collective bargaining agreements. An additional item, Mike Kausch is to update us on the status of the health care changes that we talked about last month.
As mentioned last month, we actually discussed and approved renewal of the health insurance program for the coming year, which begins on March 1. Part of that discussion was a recommendation on the part of Blue Cross Blue Shield and our staff to include some modest changes to the benefit plan that we wanted to discuss before for your approval before we move forward. Among those are the change in the program for treatment of diabetes. We're recommending that modifications in the coverage for treatment of diabetes more closely match for the PPO, more closely match that's currently included in the HMO plans. Specifically, that would be to provide diabetes supplies, testing strips, and so forth at no cost for copay. And secondly, to provide insulin at the co-pay payment level of generic drugs, which is currently $10. Obvious to most that a diabetic incident that requires hospitalization or treatment, emergency treatment, is very expensive and obviously damaging to the employee's long-term health. And we think these are more preventive measures that warrant consideration for change. Secondly, we're recommending increasing the maximum annual benefit coverage for dental services from $1,500 to $2,000. The maximum was last set in 2005, when it went from $1,000 to $1,500. The consumer price index for dental services has increased about 48% in that time period. This will be about a 33% increase. Based on information provided by Blue Cross Blue Shield underwriter, it's expected that this benefit change for dental services would cost about $24,000 per year. We have made a number of changes in the past to ask employees to participate further in their healthcare costs. In 2011, there were a number of changes made that resulted in about $1 million of savings to the TOLE over an annualized period. At that time, we increased the PPO deductibles for individuals and family units, and in some cases, nearly doubling those. We increased out-of-pocket maximums. We started charging for hospital admission co-payments for the PPO, $200. Increased the HMO plan co-payments for inpatient hospital stays. In 2012, we also asked, and the board approved the first kind of employee contribution made out of their check each month. Those premiums range as high as $98 per month for someone in the PPO with family coverage. So in total, we think that this year that these actions would be beneficial to our employees, but beneficial to the tollway as well. So we're recommending those changes.
Okay.
Very good. So any questions or discussion on any one of those three items, board committee structure, pay for rental leave policy, the health care issue we just discussed?
Mike, just on the health care, you said that it would $24,000 increase for the individual.
$24,000 is the underwriter's estimated total cost.
Total cost.
For the tollway for the change in the benefit cap for dental services.
Okay. Make sure I
understand. Any other questions?
Do you anticipate that total cost will stay constant, or maybe have a small increase each year, or how would that? What do you project that to be?
We haven't asked them that question, but my expectation is, as the cost of those services increase, that you would see that increase.
By adding these two additional coverages on the dental and the insulin. Will that help maybe over time reduce our premiums based on preventative health care?
The expectation is particularly on the diabetes.
So that's exciting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? On the change in the board structure to provide for alternates, members of committees, that's reflects basically what we did in Aurora a couple years back, where it's very helpful to have that arrangement. Preserves the continuity of the activity for the our city council, and I'm sure it will for the board. Those are
No. Okay.
So very good. Then we can then move on to what normally would be.
Actually, I have one more item.
Okay.
Because one. A presentation from Mike Kalsch is not enough. Mike will be presenting the final presentation of the 2014 final budget. Budget, Mike is and his staff, Mike Kalsch and his staff have been fine-tuning the budget over the past few months, and for the most part, this final budget is the same as the tentative budget we shared with you in October. As Mike will outline in detail in a little bit, the 2014 budget is balanced budget with which is based on responsible revenue projections and continuing to achieve new management efficiencies agency-wide. It provides to invest a record $1.4 billion, as a number you are very familiar with, in capital projects in 2014, including the $1.1 billion in funding to continue to move forward on the Rouge, Illinois project. Mike, it's all yours.
So I think Mike, or maybe I should say Christy, has pretty much covered my presentation. I think you've heard, really, there have been essentially no changes since the tentative budget was proposed and approved back in October. We took public comment in November. There wasn't any significant public comment, I guess, with respect to the items in the budget for consideration for change. But I would like to go through a couple of slides that just recap kind of the overall big financial budgetary picture for 2013 and 2014. At the start of 2013, we budgeted $986 million in revenue. Just wanted to remind you that toll revenue and evasion recovery have performed, have been on track, have performed slightly better than estimated. We now expect $998 million by the end of 2013, may even do a little bit better than that by the end of December, may even top the $1 billion mark by the end of December. I'm going to go out on a limb, say it here first. Projection for 2014, $1.015 billion, again, modest increase in revenue, but showing steady growth in the economy reflected in our traffic in 2014. That's allocated $295 million to operations, $334 million for debt service transfers, and then $386 million would be left to help fund our capital program and capital investments. And as I think Mike mentioned, we plan to issue about $900 million in bonds. Those resources will all be available to fund that record $1.4 billion investment that we've budgeted for next year. The highlights, if you call them highlights, there is one change that we put at the top. I don't know if it's a highlight, but it's one change we have to talk about. That's not, it didn't even result in a change in the budget document itself. And that is, as has happened almost perennially, after we approved the tentative budget, the state employees retirement system has modified slightly the retirement contribution that employers are required to make. It's about a 0.5% increase for the year, or actually 1% for the second half of the year. It's a small enough amount that we didn't change the allocation in the budget because we believe we can accommodate that within what's currently budgeted, or if we need to at the very end of the year make some line item transfers to accommodate that change. For the operating budget, we showed earlier, it's an increase of $12 million, about 4.2%. Our long-term financial plan calls for annual increases of about 4%, so it's consistent with that. And it reflects the strategic priorities that are outlined in this 100 and maybe 200-page document, something close to that. So hopefully each of you have a copy. But you can see the increases are targeted to transparency and accountability, which is $3.6 million funding ERP and IT management services initiatives, $2.8 million for electronic toll collection and violation enforcement efforts to enhance customer service, and about $2.7 million increase in the state police budget, primarily to provide funding that we can increase the number of sworn personnel, troopers on the road, increasing sworn personnel from 108, average of 180 to 196 in 2014. And as we mentioned earlier, debt service number includes that $900 million of new money issuance to help fund the capital program, and there it is on the bottom, $1.4 billion record capital investment next year. So those are the highlights. If there's any questions, I can address those. Otherwise, we'd recommend approval of the 2014 budget.
Well, I got a quick question regarding the tentative budget. I read CDM Smith's their annual toll revenue estimates for 2014, and it was dated December 9th, 2013. Did you get a chance to, after reading this, did you revise maybe your estimates for 2014? Because they're pretty conservative, and they're pretty very cautious about the construction cycle that we're in, and weather-related issues from last year, they will impact the first quarter of this year. I just wonder if it had any impact.
Yeah, but they actually made no substantive changes in that report relative to what we saw in the October report that they did. There was some rounding issues that they corrected in that report and so forth. So we had factored in, and they had factored in, those economic projections in the tentative budget portal.
Thank you. I have one more question. The pension reform, will there be a pension, Springfield, will that pension reform have any impact on this budget going forward? I know there's a lot of unknown out there still.
It is an unknown in the sense that if there's a subsequent legislative action with respect to employer contributions, we don't know what might happen. We do know that the bill that passed, or the legislation that passed, did not include any changes for our contribution for 2000 and for the coming calendar year.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, then I would entertain a motion to approve the 2014 final budget.
Motion.
And we have a motion, do we have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? The motion is carried, and the 2014 final budget is approved. And then, if we could then, the typically, we're going to deal with the items from the various departments here on the agenda. Typically, those are on a consent agenda because they've gone through FOA committee prior to this meeting. However, there was no FOA meeting, so we will be taking these and asking staff to give us a brief synopsis of each item in each section as we conclude those descriptions under each section, then we'll go back and take a vote, perhaps collectively for the most part, on those items if we could. So this obviously will lengthen the time of the meeting today because we're doing what FOA typically does. So just a consideration of that, Christy staff has ordered both lunch and dinner, should it take that. The lunch consists of pizza, dinner consists of cold pizza. So we're all set. That's an incentive to move right along. Okay, we'll deal with items other than those we've already dealt with under finance. The first of which was the approval of the budget. Item number three would be the next item for consideration.
Thank you. Item three is renewal and or replacement of liquidity agreements for the Series 2007A and 2008A variable rate bonds. You may recall earlier this year we requested and received approval to renew a bank agreement that provides support for the 1998 series. We have a number of agreements that will be expiring in January, February, and March, and we have another that has an early termination provision at no cost that is expiring in early 2015 that we asked our financial advisor under their scope of services, PFM, our financial advisor, general financial advisor, to solicit proposals to see if not only to replace or renew the existing facilities, but consider replacement of that liquidity agreement that comes due in early 2015. So the TOWI has six subseries of the $700 million 2007A bonds, and has $191.6 million of series 2008A bonds that are variable rate bonds that require credit support, essentially bank facilities, liquidity facilities, which provide funding to purchase those variable rate bonds.